message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
I pray that your expectation will not be cut off this morning in the name of Jesus. I say it will not be cut off this morning in the name of Jesus. Today is our family intervention service. And I trust God that in this service, God is going to intervene in somebody's family in the name of Jesus. We'll also be praying specially for all firstborn and all sons, all male children. We'll be praying for them specially because they are very special before the Lord. And this morning, I'll be speaking on family intervention via divine presence. Family intervention via divine presence. Family intervention via divine presence. It's our month of divine presence, and we have established over time that divine presence is man's greatest asset. We have said it in the services before now that your certificate is not your greatest asset. Your beauty, your handsomeness is not your greatest asset. Your visa in your passport is not your greatest asset. Your cars, your money, your bank account in any bank where you have money is not your greatest asset. The greatest thing that a man can possess in this world as an asset is that the person carries God. The person has God. The person has divine presence. You cannot compare it to anything. There's no one that has any other thing that thing will not perish. There's nothing a man has that is not perishable, as it were. Only thing that you can carry that can be eternal and can be of eternal immense value that can change your life in every way is divine. And in the past, we have talked about various benefits of divine presence. Is it prosperity? Is it protection? Is it guidance? Is it open doors? Is it divine direction and guidance to show you where to go? Is it divine ideas? Is it sound health? The Bible says he brought them forth with silver and with gold, and none was feeble amongst them. Not one. Not one was feeble, and he gave them silver and gold because they had his presence. And in this service, and in this month, and in forever, and all the days of your life, you will be a person that carries divine presence. Can I hear a louder amen from you? Can I hear a louder amen from you? So if I pray for you that God will give you money, and I pray for you that God will give you divine presence, that one should be your preference. Because when you have divine presence, you have every other thing. You can't carry God and be empty. You can't carry God and carry last. Because God is first. God is above, so you cannot be beneath. All the days of your life, you will be above only in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a major thing that makes a family to carry God's presence. That makes an individual and a family to carry God's presence. God's presence is not free. God's presence is not something you just carry. Divine presence is not something that a family just carries automatically. No. There is a price to pay. Somebody said there's a price to pay. There is a price to pay for the presence of God. There is a price to pay for your family to be distinguished. There is something you must do for your life to change. I was telling them at the leaders and workers meeting this morning, I said life is a function of responsibility. Don't think of getting something for nothing. Don't think of just getting up without doing what it takes to be up. Don't think of getting the best without doing the best. It's just like a student wanting to have first class without doing anything, without attending lecture, without doing a test. It's foolishness for a Christian to think he can just carry divine presence without doing something. And today, I'll be just talking on one major thing your family needs to do for you to carry divine presence. Are you expectant this morning? If you are expectant, shout a big hallelujah. It is called the honor of God. The honor of God. Now, quickly this morning, beloved, what is honor? What is honor? To honor, what does it mean to honor someone? To honor someone is to possess high regard for the person. To honor someone is to possess high regard. Somebody say high regard. High regard for somebody means to honor somebody. You honor the person with high regard. You honor the person with high regard. Now, two, what is honor? To honor someone means to respect and reference somebody. To reference and respect somebody. When you respect somebody, when you honor somebody with high regard, yes, that's honor. Number three, what does it mean to honor somebody? It means to think highly of someone. To think highly and to recognize someone. To think highly of someone. To think highly of someone means to honor someone. And we are talking about God this morning. We are talking about honor as a major tool for getting the attention of God. We are talking about honor as a major factor for getting the best of God. We'll be looking at a family this morning that was unable to honor God, and also we'll look at other people that honored God in the scripture, and they were so blessed. Look at a man called Eli. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, but chapter 2, verse 22. I don't think I have the time to read all through to 36. The sons of this guy, this man called Eli, were dishonoring God. The Bible says, and Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such thing? For hear of your evil doing dealings by all these people. Nay, my sons, for it is not good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who will entreat for him? Nevertheless, notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Go on, I'll just stop as the time permits me. And the child Samuel grew and was in favor both with the Lord. And okay, let me stop there and paraphrase the rest, and then we'll move on from there later on. I'll come back to that scripture later on. The Bible says here, Eli was a child of God, a priest, and had sons. And the Bible says that the sons were not honoring God. And the father spoke to the sons and said, I've heard that you guys are not honoring God. I've heard about your misdeeds and your misbehaviors and how you are not honoring God as you are expected to. And he tried to correct them, but he corrected them mildly. Someone say mildly. He did not correct them sternly. And the Bible says that God was not happy with this behavior. And the Bible says that in verse 12, 1 Samuel 2 verse 12, that they were behaving like sons of Belial. They were behaving like children of unbelievers. They were behaving like children that were not children of God. May none of your children be a son of Belial in Jesus' name. I say, may none of your children be a son of Belial in the name of Jesus. Bible says they transgressed in verse 23. But he said, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all these people. I hear of what you are doing. I hear of your conduct. I hear of your evil conduct. Why are you doing this? Now, a family that wants to get the best of God must be a family that honors God, because God is always searching for a family that is honoring him. Now, before that time, God had already told Eli that he will bless him for life. That all the days of his life, his family is going to be blessed. All the days of his life, he's going to be very prosperous, very progressive. Things are going to work out for him. He's going to go from glory to glory. He will never cease being blessed. But suddenly, because of dishonor, God withdrew what he has said. For somebody here today, God will never withdraw his blessings concerning you in Jesus' name. I say, God will never withdraw his favor concerning you in the name of Jesus. God will withdrew his blessings, his presence from the family of Eli simply because they began to dishonor God. Important facts about honoring God. Number one fact about honoring God is that God demands that we honor him. It's a demand. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. Honoring God is a demand from heaven. Malachi 1 verse 6. People only think that in Malachi is only about tithing that is there. But you will see Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. A son honoreth his father. Can we read together, everybody? One, two, go. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts. Let's stop there. A son honoreth his father. A son, a good child, must always honor his father. So the Bible is saying, if I am indeed your God, you need to honor me. Your family needs to honor me. Number two, important fact about honoring God is that honoring God attracts honor in return. 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, the B part. 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, Bible says, he that honoreth me, I will honor. He that despises me, I will lightly esteem. Anyone that honors me, I will honor the person in return. I will reciprocate. 1 Samuel 2 verse 30. So God is trying to say that he wants to honor us, but for him to honor us, we must first honor him first. We must first give him his due regard and due honor. Number three important fact about honoring God is that honoring God attracts blessings. Psalms 8 verse 4 and 5. Psalms 8 chapter 4 verse 4 and verse 5. Honoring God attracts blessings. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. When you honor God, he visits you. And when he visits you, he honors you. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Number four important fact about honoring God is that honoring God backs help and assistance. When you honor God, you receive help. So when you honor God, he honors you, and he gives to you help and assistance. Not everybody receives that assistance. Not everybody receives that help. But because you have honored him, he will give you help. And somebody's here today, God will give you help and assistance. I say God will give you help and assistance. I say God will give you help and assistance. Number five important facts about honoring God is that honoring God can last till old age and even until death, or even after death. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 28. 1 Chronicles 29 verse, talking about David. David was a man that honored God, and he died in a good old age. Bible says, and he died in a good old age, full of days, in riches, because David honored God. He did not die young. He died in a good old age, and he had riches. He had honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Because David honored God all his life, he did not die anyhow. He never lost any battle. No king fought battles like David. Yet, no king. There was no king that was victorious like David. And David's major qualification was he was a man that honored God. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, you know the story very well, when he was contending with Goliath. He said, the same God that helped me to fight the bear and helped me to fight the lion, that same God will deliver you into my hands. David's boast was in the Lord. He did not say, I'm a skilled man in shooting catapults. I've gone to the school of catapults in Harvard University. I'm very, very good in it. I've killed many. He was boasting in the Lord. And because of this, God honored him. You are the next person God will honor. Your family is the next family that God will honor. Can I hear you say a big amen? Can I hear you say a big amen? Quickly this morning, how to honor God to provoke his divine presence in your family. How do I honor God for my family to enjoy divine intervention? What do I need to do to honor this God before my family can be distinguished, before my family can be celebrated, before my family can go forward? What do I need to do for my family to be blessed. Number one, honor him in prayer and in supplication. Honor God in prayer and in supplication. In Psalms 91 verse 15, Psalm 91 verse 15, the Bible says, he will call upon me and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. That is talking about your family. I said that is talking about your family. I said that is talking about your family. He will call upon me. And when he calls upon me, I will answer him. Every time your family calls on God, God will honor your family. I will call upon him. And he will answer me. I will be with him in trouble. He will call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. And will deliver him. Not only delivering him. After I've delivered him, I will make sure I honor him. That will be your testimony. I said that will be your testimony. I said that will be your testimony. One of the major ways to honor God, to see God in your family, is that your family is a praying family. It doesn't have to be 3 times a day, 5 times a day. It can even be once a day, coming together as a family. What we call family altar. You can do it in the morning and night. You can do it in the morning alone. You can do it at night. You can do it at. But every blessed day, you are expected to come together as a family. By divine privilege, my wife and I have done this even when we had no children yet. Together, consistently, and it must be done deliberately. It must be done deliberately. It must be done consistently, and it must be done deliberately, because you know that when you honor God, he will honor you in return. My prayer for someone here today is that grace shall be released upon you in the name of Jesus. And as your family prays together daily, you are qualified. It's one of the major things that are very, and it's one of the major things that the devil doesn't want to happen in families. One shall chase 1,000. Two shall what? 10,000. That's what they call multiplier. So on a daily basis, you must do this. You must do this. Somebody will say, hey, but my wife or my husband is not around. Then you can talk on the phone. You can pray together on the phone. You can communicate together on the phone. As regularly as possible to provoke the presence of God in your family. It is either a family is praying or the family is playing. Every family that is not praying is calling for trouble. Every family that is not praying is not a serious-minded family. It's not a serious believer's family. A believing family must always pray together all the time and as often as God has given you the privilege. Number two, how to provoke honor, how to honor God, to provoke his divine intervention in your family, is to honor God with praise and gratitude. Honor God with praise and gratitude. In the family of David, David was a man that honored God with praise and gratitude. In 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 13 all the way to 33. You know the story there of how God was able to help David to get the ark back. And how he was praising God. And the ark. And it was so that when they had brought the ark of the Lord. Had gone six paces. He sacrificed oxen and fattens. Every time after, you see, the family of David and the kingdom of David were able to win the battle. The Bible says every 6 steps. Now, give me that scripture. Every 6 steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They will give a sacrifice. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They will give a sacrifice. So, only God knows how many sacrifices those guys were able to do. I'm very sure that's one of the places where Solomon got his 1,000 per night sacrifice from. Every 6 steps of David's family, they sacrifice to God. What kind of honor is that? That's what they call intense honor. Now look at this. Go on. And David danced before the Lord. Somebody say David danced. David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was guarded with a linen ephod. You know he's a king. Or he was a king. And he had royalty. He's not like the present day big men, the psychedelic big men that we have in Nigeria now. This is a confirmed big man. This one is a confirmed big man. The king of the biggest nation. Wealthy. You cannot call him a billionaire. He's not a billionaire. He's not a trillionaire. David was massively wealthy. You can't quantify his wealth. But look at David's secret and how he trained his family and how his family operated. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting. Somebody say shouting. Let me hear you shout to the Lord this morning. He was shouting. They didn't say that David bought a cow, he brought a aeroplane. No, he brought the ark of God. That was all that God did for him. And David was shouting. David was dancing. With the sound of the trumpet. He was blasting the trumpet. He was dancing. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, that was David's wife, looked through a window and saw the king David leaping and dancing before the Lord. She did not join them to dance. She was inside when others were dancing. Her husband was honoring God. The queen in quotes was inside. And saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised the husband in her heart. She didn't say it out at that point. She only said it in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offering and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. You are blessed in the name of Jesus. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to everyone a cake. He gave them food. Go to the next place. They were eating, rejoicing, thanking God. Then David returned to bless his own household. No matter what, if you go outside, travel, you return back home. Now, we are now back inside David's house now, inside the palace. And David returned to bless his household. And when he returned home into his house, Michal, the daughter of Saul, his wife, came out to meet David and said, how gloriously was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens of his servants. As one of the vain fellows, shamelessly, he uncovered himself. He said, why are you behaving like a shameless man? Oh, Nipti Juni. How come you are dancing like as if you are a common man? Don't you know who you are? I love David very much. You know, there are some people, when you talk to them, they will first go home to go and get reply. This one, he has reply with him. There are some people, they will first go home and say, Kidi King Son, this one, he knows what to say. Let us see the reply. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord in capital, which chose me, can you see honor, before thy father and before all thy house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before him. He saw honoring God as an essential thing. He was like a child before God. I'm taking you somewhere this morning. And I will yet I will be more vile than this. And I will be base in my own sight. I will honor God. I will make sure that I am a nobody. I might be somebody somewhere in one office or one business somewhere. When I'm in the presence of God, I behave like a nobody before him. And I will be based in my own sight. And of the maid servants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. And verse 23. Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. You can stop there because of time. And this was the only woman in the scripture that never saw childbirth till her death. Every other woman that had challenge in the Bible was able to have children. But this one, because she despised God and despised the honor of God, saw somebody praising God and spoke out and said, how are you dancing like a shameless person like this? Is this how to dance? Is this the way to dance? As if she is the one that has the license of dancing. And God said, all right, let me show you Pepe small. Let me show you how wonderful it is. May you never suffer the consequence of dishonor of God in Jesus' name. I said, may you never suffer the consequence of dishonoring God in Jesus' name. Dishonoring God is a very very highly consequential thing. That's why one must avoid it. Once you see dishonor of God, you take cover. That's why you've heard me say before, if I enter a place, they say, please don't mention God. We don't want to have anything to do with God. I walk out of the place. They say, oh, forget God. And you see, God, all these guys, all these people that talk of God, God, and you see, God, if God was really alive, why would he have helped this person or this person? I walk out. Because once you have a disrespect for him, you are finished. You're finished. Number one, how to provoke the honor of God, I said in prayer. Number two, I said what? Honor God with praise and with gratitude. So everything God has done for you, you must learn to return to thank him. Everything. There is nothing too small. There is nothing too big. Everything must be acknowledged. Everything must be appreciated. Everything you must express for every single thing. There is nothing that you can say, this one is a small thing. Which one can you do there? It's just headache, just small headache. That small headache, some people had it and they cross over to the other side. Just small headache. Somebody will say, I just slept in the bathroom. I just slept yesterday. Some people slept. Just like you sleep, they hit themselves on the tiles. They did a journey that they never return from. There is no small testimony. There is no small thing that God has done. This one is a small thing. No. Everything is valuable. Everything is important. Everything is of essence to God. Nothing must be despised. Nothing must be put under the carpet. I don't know. It's a small do. He promoted in your place of work. It's a small do. And those that have been there for 15 years without promotion call. You wrote an exam, you finished it, result came out, all the papers were successful. I read very well. Some were putting their leg inside buckets of water to see fade. I remember when we were in school in those days. So that some people will not sleep, they will look for water, put their leg inside. While they slept off, they will still use their leg to hit something again and pour the water away. Yet they still failed. You will not be a failure. I say you will not be a failure. If you know how to honor God in appreciation, you are made. Once God can know you and say, this man is a grateful person, you are made. You might not have much certificate, too. You might not have much connection. You might not be old like Methuselah, but you are made. Number three, how to honor God to provoke intervention in your family. Honor God with a neat and clean environment in your house. Honor God with a neat and clean environment. In the church, in the house, everywhere you want God to be, let there be neatness. Somebody say neatness. In 1 Corinthians 14 verse 40. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 40. The Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. God does not stay in houses where things are done in a disorderly manner. Matches are under the chair in the parlor. Salt, say, where is salt, Seth? Go and bring salt. It's on top of the television. I left it on top of the television. Salt on top of the television. Okay, what's the correlation? Is this the salt cup that is charging the television? What is it? Where is the palm oil? Palm oil. Yes. I remember. I left it in the toilet on top of, just go to the toilet on top of the water closet. The palm oil is there. A house where there's disorder. A house, if you go to some people's houses, you knock. They will say, we are coming, 15 minutes, they go over, they are quickly tidying the house. Your house should be permanently neat and decent. Where somebody knocks, saying, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Quickly open the door. Because it's ready to receive visitors. Now, let me give you an analogy to make you know that why God takes this issue of cleanliness very important. If I tell you, a small boy like me, I tell you, I'm visiting you tomorrow. I am very, very sure you clean up your house. You prepare yourself. Perfectly. What about your fridge? Will things be there? Loaded. That I'm coming to your house. That's the way it is. When you know that God is coming to your house, if a man or a servant of God is coming. He's coming to our house today. You will to prepare yourself. Begin to get yourself ready. Now you are expecting God in that house that day. You know that you want him to be there. Yeah, you should keep it clean. I can't come to your house. You know that I'm coming to your house, and then the multiple pampers of your children are on the bare floor. 3 days pampers is still there. No! You won't leave it there. As a child of God, that you want the presence of God in your family, it must be permanently clean. God does not just go anywhere. He's a respectable person. He's a respectable individual. He's a massive entity. It's not somebody you just toy with. Just toy with him. No. It's because my children normally wee-wee. When children are still small, they normally wee-wee. You are the one that will ensure that they wee-wee. Despite that, the bed must be dried. And the bed sheet must be washed regularly. That's your job. You signed for it when you brought them to this world. Until they grow up and they are able to stop the wee-wee, you continue with the wee-wee washing. It's not an excuse for dirtiness. It's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. May the Lord give us understanding. I say, may the Lord give us understanding. I say, may the Lord give us understanding. You want God to stay in your house? You want God to be in your family? Keep it neat. Keep your kitchen very neat. Keep your stove very neat. Keep your gas cooker very neat. Keep your fridge neat. Don't let the water of the meat that was there during last year Christmas still be under the place there. No. Number 4. How to honor God to provoke his divine presence in our family. Number 4 is honor God by giving to him generously and cheerfully. I want to say this morning, beloved. God is not a beggar, neither is he in want. He said, a cattle upon a thousand hills is mine. Whenever you have an opportunity to give to God as a family, either as a father, a mother, a child, or as a total family combined, it's a privilege. If it is not done with cheerfulness, it is useless. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7. So when you want to give to God, it must be with cheer. You must do it cheerfully. Every man according as he proposes in his heart. So let him give. Not grudgingly. Someone say not grudgingly. Of a necessity. Who are the kind of givings that God likes? God loves those that their giving is done cheerfully. That's why when we are dancing forward, we must not just walk forward. We come with dancing. We come with rejoicing. Thank you because I can give this. Thank you because my hands are not empty. Thank you because this one I'm giving now is small compared to what I'll be giving in September. That's how to do it. You want God's presence in your family, keep giving. And give him, which I spoke about King Solomon earlier on, about how he was able to give extensively in the book of 1 Kings chapter 3, from verse 3 to verse 5, and verse 13 particularly. He was just giving and giving and giving. In one night, he killed 1,000 offerings to God. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father, only sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place, like the church. 1,000 burnt offering did Solomon upon that altar. And of course, almost immediately, God appeared for his family. And in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. God will give you a blank check today. I say, God will give you a blank check today. And God will give you the wisdom to fill it properly. When God asked him, what do you want? This was as a result of the honor he had for God. Don't allow your family to give God the scrap of what you have left. God doesn't take scrap. That was what happened between Cain and Abel. Cain gave, Abel gave, but the price and the cost of Abel's giving was higher than Cain. Cain just gave God the little he had. God doesn't take such. The best of the best is what God wants from. If you read that Malachi chapter 1 very well, Bible says God was talking there. He said, you will be giving me sheep that is the eye has problem, or a sheep that one of the leg has problem. He said, I want to sacrifice this to God. He said, give it to your governors. Malachi chapter 1. He said, give it to your governors if they will accept it from you. Give it to your governor. See if the governor will take it from you. I'm not somebody you just give something. Just check your purse. Where is that 5 naira that when I sent them to grind pepper yesterday that was already smelling pepper? Where is that 5 naira safe? I found it. Oh yeah. Let me give it to this person. No, that's not how to do it. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. I say, may the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. So your giving must be qualitative. Your giving must be qualitative. Your giving must be a giving that brings glory to the Lord. The scripture I quoted earlier is Malachi chapter 1 verse 8. Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that the table of the Lord is contemptible. Verse 8. That's verse 7 I read earlier on. Verse 8. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it unto your governor. Will he be pleased to have it? Anything that you cannot give a governor, don't give me. Anything you cannot give to highest authority, don't give me. Don't just give me the scrap of what you have left. No, I don't accept such. Your family must be a family that gives God the highest honor always in his or our giving. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord encourages us at every point in time to bring our first fruits of all. I say, honor the Lord with their substance. Can you see that? One of the ways to honor God is with our substance in our family. Honor God with your substance in your family and with the first fruit of your increase. Whatever God has blessed your family with, honor God with it, the first substance. Honor God with it, and of course, honor him with the first fruit of all thy increase. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. I'm now number what? Number 5, way to honor God for your family to be blessed is honor God by being obedient to the scripture. If you want your family to be blessed, honor him by being obedient to the scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 26, the Bible explains to us how a wife should treat her husband and how a husband should treat the wife. Ephesians 5, verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband. It didn't say submit yourself to another person's husband. No. Your own husband is a commandment, it's an instruction. You must submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord. The way you submit to God is the way you submit to your husband. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Go on, please. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject. Let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husbands, now, let's go. Husbands! Say we are here. Husbands! Love your wives. Even as Christ also loved. Everything relates to Christ. Wives, treat your husband like it's like unto Christ. Husbands too, treat your wife like it's unto. Can you see that? That's a different relation. Treat your wife like it's unto Christ. Treat your husband. No, I'm still going on. Just let me read through. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So husband, your instruction is to love that woman that God has given to you. Find out her love language. The love language of your wife might be different from the love language of my own wife. Everybody has a love language. So find out the person's love language and then express it. Express it massively. It's like a core course. A 12 unit course. Or 16 unit course. You have to find out, what does this woman like? What does she love? And then you love it, and then you give it to her. You find out also how your husband wants to be referenced, how your husband wants to be appreciated, and then you do this. By the time you do this, that's what they call obedience. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, the Bible explains to us that if you can be willing and if you can be obedient, you will eat the good of the land. If you can be obedient, you will enjoy the best of your husband. Husband, if you can be obedient to this scripture, you will get the best of your wife. May the Lord give us understanding. I say, may the Lord give us understanding. See, there is no modern day marriage. There's nothing like this, the modern day marriage. Marriage is marriage. Scripture is scripture. God doesn't change. Hebrews 13 verse 8. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God cannot lie. He can't lie. Numbers 23 verse 19. He can't lie. He's not the son of man that he should lie. Neither is the son of man that he should repent. God cannot change. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. This is the scripture. Submit to that man. Love that woman. That's who, and when you do that, you have become obedient and you are qualified for more of God's honor. Every marriage here, you will receive God's honor. Every marriage here, you will receive God's honor. Every family here, your family will receive God's honor. Wow, I need to tidy this up. We still have quite a few. Let me just take maybe two more and then we'll go on to praying for the firstborn and sons. Number six, how to honor God is honor God by being hospitable. By being hospitable. By being a giver to poor people, to less privileged. Psalms 41 verse 1 to 3. Psalms 41 verse 1 to 3. Psalms 41 verse 1 to 3. 1 to 3. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Anybody that delivers the poor, God will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. When you bless the poor, when you are a giver, when you know how to help others, God will keep you alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou will not deliver him unto the will of his enemy. The Lord will strengthen him upon his bed of languishing. Thou will make all his bed in sickness. So anybody, male or female, boy or girl, who loves to help the poor. Proverbs 14 verse 31 also explains that to us. Because when you consider the poor, you are a person that has considered to honor God. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. When you oppress a poor person, you are reproaching the maker of that person. You are saying like the person that created that person is it's not a good. That's why for many of you here that have people that assist you as in the house, don't be one of the Christians that use iron to visit somebody's back because she stole a piece of meat. Don't be the person that pours hot water on a girl's laps because she didn't bring what you told her to bring on time. You dishonor people like you, you have dishonored God. Anytime you see a person that dishonors people like him, a human being like you, not a doll, a human being like you, not a dog, not a cow, a human being, and they trample on them, then you have seen somebody who has little or no honor for God. I don't know God. I can't see God. You can see God. This is 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 God. Human being like you, they are God. I would say ye are God, and all of you are children of the Most High. We are small g gods. So you must treat people well, with honor and with respect, with regard. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. I say, may the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. I say, may the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. And of course, number seven, how to honor God to provoke divine intervention in your... Should I stop here or I should just finish quickly? Are you being blessed? If you are being blessed, shout a big hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number seven, how to honor God to provoke divine intervention in your family. Honor God by honoring his house. Honor God's house. God's house is a place of honor. The church. That's why... On Wednesday, we wrote out some rules and regulations for workers to follow. In some places, you see some people, they will, during service, like, they'll be eating chewing gum. They'll be eating chewing gum. They will put the chewing gum under there. That's a dishonor. Can you enter government house and eat chewing gum? When you enter government house, you want to see the governor. You cannot even take your phone inside. There's, for many of us that have worked there or have gone there, you will see that machine. Once you pass and the thing makes noise, they will remove you back. They will draw you back, and if you have seven phones, you park it there. The phone must not ring. And after you enter, maybe the man, you wait for the man for 7 hours before you won't complain. But when it comes to God, God is not somebody you dishonor. His house must be referenced. His house must be, and one of the ways to honor God is you honor him and you honor his house by serving him. Serving him through evangelism, Mark 16:15. You honor him through physical work in the house. Physical work in the house of God. You honor God through physical work in the house of God. You honor God through prayer, still worship. That's 7A, evangelism. That's ways to honor God in his house, evangelism. 7B is physical still worship. Physical still worship. Physical still worship. Number 7C is through prayer still worship. You pray for the people. You pray for the less privileged. You pray for the sick. You pray for the service. You pray for the outreaches. You pray for the cell system. You pray for the advancement and the development of the work of God. That's one of the ways to engage in prayer. So number 7D way that you can serve God is that you can honor God through hospitality. Like I said, that's number 6. Number 7, I said honoring God by honoring his house. And I said 7A is evangelism. 7B is physical work. 7C is prayers to worship. 7D is timeliness to services. That's one of the ways you can honor God in his house. Timeliness to services. You don't enter into God's house when you like. If you want to go out to work 7 o'clock, you are already out. But when it's time to now go to God's house by 8 a.m. No, it's impossible. It's now an issue up to 10. If you want to take your children to school by 7:30, you are there. But when it's time to come to the house of God for 8 p.m. or 9 p.m., it becomes a challenge. It's a sign of dishonor. It's a sign of dishonor. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Sabbath day, you rest after service. It's not before the service. You don't bring out clothes to begin to wash on Sunday morning. When you're not a pagan, you bring out clothes, begin to wash on Sunday morning. Why? A believer doesn't do that. All your mind on Sunday morning is to go and listen to God's word, to go and worship him, to go and adore him on Sunday morning. May the Lord give us understanding. I say, may the Lord give us understanding. These are some of the things that are affecting us. It's not devil with a devil. Devil is the problem. At the end of life, you will see that devil will complain a lot. I say, many of the problems that people say, I'm the one. Honestly. Honestly, I'm not the one. Honestly, I was not there. Because devil is not omnipresent. He cannot be in two places at the same time. Devil cannot be in Nigeria and be in America and be in Dubai and be in Congo, Kinshasa at the same time. He can only be in one place at a time. Yes, he might have visited people around you at a point in time. But not that he's now permanently there. What is the problem? It's just because of dishonor of God. May the Lord give us understanding. I say, may the Lord give us understanding. So, we must honor his house. He must honor his house. Don't say, it's because God has given me, he has given me plenty children. That's why it's difficult for me to come to God's house. Okay, has God now done something bad by giving you plenty children? Will he have been okay or better for him not to have given you those children? You know, he must think very well. Will he have been better for him not to have done that? Now that he has done that, we now use that against him. If you are working in MTN, will they hear that because you have plenty children? I said, yeah, honestly speaking, my husband is an action man. He has 6 children. So because of that, that's why I'm late. They'll just say, okay, thank you very much. Please go and be taking care of your children at home. We'll be visiting you later. You can say that. So you package yourself. Bah, 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 bah. You resume very early because of pepe, 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 pepe. But this God is the one giving us all the pepe. And you will not lack for life. Yeah. And lastly, where we stop today before we pray for the firstborn and son is honoring God by honoring parents, pastors, and elders. Honoring God by honoring parents, pastors, and elders. Exodus 20 verse 12. Exodus 20 verse 12. Our God is a God that loves it when we honor our father, our mother. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Also in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17. Let elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they that labor in word and doctrine. Say, those that preach to you, honor them. Those that labor in word, that preach to you. Those that labor in doctrine. Doctrine means teachings. They teach you what to do. This is what to do. But don't dress in a way that is not okay. Don't move like this. Don't walk about at night. Don't drink alcohol. That is doctrine. Those that teach you doctrine, Bible says we are supposed to give them double honor. Any honor you give others, you give them double of it. Any honor you give other people outside, you give your boss in the work, or you give your relatives or people around you, they deserve that honor. Why? Because they represent me on earth. They represent me on earth. And so, every child that wants to live long must honor his parents. Every child that wants to live long must honor his spiritual parents. Must honor those that God has placed ahead of him. Boy, girl, young, old. Either they have money, they don't have money, that's not your cup of tea. What matters is that God has placed them as spiritual authority over us. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. As we conclude, today is a day we'll be praying specially for all firstborn and all sons. In Exodus chapter 13 verse 12. Exodus 13 verse 12. The Bible says, thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix. That is, thou will set apart unto me your first child. The person that comes to you first as a child, either a male or a female, set them apart to me. They are specially for me. Anything that is a firstborn, either is male, either is female, I own it. It is my responsibility. That person is for me. That's what the Bible has said. And that's why you will see in the scriptures that many firstborn and many sons are always attacked. Look at Reuben. Look at Cain. And many children in the scripture that were firstborn, the devil tried to destroy them, destabilize their life, because they are special unto the Lord. You see, when you see your firstborn or your first child in your family doing things that are not right, it's sometimes not them. That's why you must pray for them. Most of the time, when your first child does well, most likely others will follow suit and do well. Once sometimes the first child has problem, even if others want to do well, they feel discouraged. They don't have any motivation. Hello? Is somebody feeling what I'm saying this morning? There is no motivate. There's nobody to look at. He had a pass and just passed out without any. So why do I want to go on for first class? My brother had pass. So if I have third class, that's okay. My brother will never went to school. The first one never went to school. So what is it? What is it? If I struggle to have SSC, that's all the glory be to the Lord in the highest. So the firstborn and the sons are children that are very special. And that's why they need prayers. They need serious intercession from parents, from brothers, from sisters. If you are here today, your husband is a firstborn. And of course, your husband is a son, definitely. But your husband is a firstborn. There's battle to fight. Because the devil does not want him to be okay. The devil does not want his business to be okay. Because if a son in a family is okay, the family has legacy. The family has a future. And I pray for every firstborn here and every son here that your life will not be wasted in Jesus' name. I say your life will not be wasted in Jesus' name. We're going to be praying this morning extensively, and we are trusting God that yokes will be broken, lives will be changed, and men and women here today will actually take their place in destiny. I say you will take your place in destiny in the name of Jesus. I must not close this message this morning without calling on my friends. You are here this morning and you are saying to me, Pastor, I've heard this message this morning. I want to honor God afresh. And the first way I want to honor God is to rededicate my life to Jesus. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. I'm not saying you are a bad person. I'm not saying that you are a bad person. No, but you just have a desire. Your heart wants to return back to God. I want to pray with you this morning. I'll be counting from 1 to 5. I want to quickly just be on your feet. I'll just pray with you wherever you are. And then your life will never be the same again. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Please be on your feet. 1. Also, you are watching us on the internet from anywhere in the world. You want to rededicate your life to Christ. Let us know through the email that is stated on the screen that you want to do this. And then we'll be able to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You want to do that quickly? Please be on your feet. You want to rededicate your life to Christ. God bless you. Be on your feet quickly. Be on your feet quickly. You want a new life. You want a new life in Christ. You want a new life in Christ. You want, also you are here, you want your sins forgiven. Not that you are a bad person, but you know in your heart of hearts that you need some sins to be forgiven. You know, no one can forgive sin except this God. You want your sins forgiven. Also, I want to pray with you this morning. Please be on your feet. God bless you. Be on your feet this morning. You want God to cleanse you. I'm going to pray with you just in a few minutes from now, and then your life will never ever be the same again. You want a new life. A new life in Christ Jesus. A new life. A new life of royalty. A new life of blessing. A new life of favor. You want it this morning. I want to pray with you too. Also, you are here. You want to break an habit. There's an habit in your life you are not happy about. You can't say it outside, but you are not happy about it. You want to stop it this morning. You want a new life in Christ. You want Christ to forgive you your past, and you want him to help you from now onward with a new life in Christ. You want to break that habit. You want to stop that habit right now. Be on your feet. God bless you. Be on your feet quickly. You want a new life. Coming to church does not mean one is saved. No. Search your heart where you are seated. If Christ returns now. This is 11 o'clock. 11:01 this morning. 11:01. If Christ returns 11:02, is it going to take you? Are you certain? Are you sure? If you are not certain, then what do you have to lose? There's nothing you have to lose. All you need to do is to ensure that you are up on your feet. You don't have anything to lose by giving your life to Christ. You don't have anything to lose by giving your life to Christ. You don't have anything to lose by giving your life to Christ. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Three. Also, you are here this morning. In your heart of hearts, you cannot remember the day you gave your life to Christ. You can't say, this is the day. This is the day. But today, you want today to be that day. You want today to be that day. You want to remember today for life as that day. You want to remember. Not that you've not given your life to Christ before, you cannot remember. Say, when did you give it? I can't remember. You must be able to remember. There must be a date. You must be able to attach to your spiritual life. Quickly, be on your feet this morning. Be on your feet this morning. Be on your feet this morning, and I will pray with you. God bless you. I give myself away. You can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself. You want to give yourself away? You want to give your heart away to God this morning? Away so you. Thank you, Lord. Also, where you are seated, your conscience is telling you that you should rededicate your life to Christ. Your heart is telling you to be up on your feet. Don't struggle. All you need to do is to take that decision quickly so that we can pray for you, and then we can move forward in this service this morning, and then your life will never be. Also, you are watching us on the internet from anywhere in the world. You want us to know that you are taking this decision this morning. You want us to know. Please send us an email or a WhatsApp to the number stated on the screen, and then we'll be able to respond to you, and your life will never be the same again. Four. One more count and I'll pray. One more count. This is the count of grace. I'm about to pray right now. You want to rededicate your life to Christ? Please be on your feet quickly. Rush to be on your feet. Don't waste time. We are about to move forward in the service, and you are saying, Pastor, please pray with me. 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 I don't want to be the same again. I don't want to be the same again. I've struggled on my own. I've tried and tried and tried on my own, but I cannot do it on my own. Please pray with me. Please pray with me. Please pray with me. Also, where you are seated, you know in your heart of heart that if Christ returns, you are not certain. You are not certain. You are not certain. You are not sure. You are not very sure. But you want to be sure. You want to be sure. Be smart this morning. Be smart this morning. Be smart this morning. Be smart this morning. I'm giving you just 30 more seconds and we will pray. I'm giving you 30 more seconds, and then you are on your feet, and then we are praying together. quickly. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Be on your feet quickly. 20 more seconds. Where you are, the Holy Spirit is telling you that this is your morning, this is your time, this is your hour, and then we are about to pray. If you are also watching us anywhere you want us to know, let us know quickly. Send us an email, send us WhatsApp to let us know that you are taking this decision. And as you do that, Lord will bless you. Now say after me, say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for receiving me. Blessed be thy name in Jesus. Can we be on our feet and give him praise? Can we thank him this morning? Can we give him praise? Can we be on our feet? Can we thank him? Can we give him a big clap offering? I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. Lift your hands and thank him for the word he has sent to us today. Thank him for sending us his word. Bible says he sent his word. His word healed us and delivered us from all our destructions. Can your voices be louder to the King of Kings? Can you take this serious? Can your voices be louder? Can you thank him? Can you thank God? Can you thank God? Can you appreciate him? Can you give him praise? Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. We have just been taught that gratitude is one of the ways to honor God. When we want to thank God and appreciate him, it must be done with seriousness. It must be done with utmost seriousness. Again, I want us to lift our hands and thank God for sending us his word this morning. Lift your voice and thank him. Give him praise. Thank him. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Jesus must be honored, must be honored, must be honored. Jesus must be honored in my life every day. Hallelujah. Morning, you will say, oh Lord, help me to honor you all the days of my life. Help my family to honor you all the days of our life. Lift your voice and pray. 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 Help me to honor you all the days of my life. Let my family honor you. Empower me to honor you, God, all the days of my life. Let me be counted among those that honor you. Let me be counted among those that honor you. Let me be counted among those that honor you. All the days of my life, I want to honor you. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. I want us to do more in the place of prayer. I want us to do more in the place of prayer. You will say, Father, Father, I refuse to be numbered among those that dishonor you. I will not be numbered among those that dishonor you. Lift your voice and pray. My family will not be numbered among those that have no respect for you. I will not be numbered among those that refuse to honor you. Pray, 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 pray. I will not be numbered among those that dishonor you. that will dishonor you, disrespect you. No. No. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. This is a family intervention service, and we are going to be praying massively for our families this morning. You will say, Father, supernaturally, visit my family. Supernaturally, visit my family. Lift your voice and pray. Pray. Pray, 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 pray. Supernaturally visit my family. Father, supernaturally visit my family. My family needs your visitation. My home needs your visitation. My family needs your visitation. My home needs your visitation. Jesus' mighty name we are praying. You will say, oh Lord, let your glory appear in my family. Let your glory be showcased in my family. Lift your voice and pray. Pray, 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 pray. Let your glory be showcased. Fi agbára rẹ̀ hàn, Olúwa, Bàbá fi agbára rẹ̀ hàn, Olúwa, fi agbára rẹ̀ hàn. Pray, 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 pray. Fi agbára rẹ̀ hàn, Olúwa. Jesus' mighty name we are praying. You will say, oh Lord, all foundational problems delaying the elevation of my family. Father, remove them. Remove foundational problems hindering our elevation. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Remove the foundational problem. Remove every problem. Every problem. Every foundational challenge. Every foundational problem. Every foundational problem. Delaying our elevation, delaying our celebration, delaying our progress. Remove them. Remove that foundational problem. Are you praying? Are you praying? Are you praying? Father, remove every foundational problem this morning. Let every foundational problem be arrested this morning. Whatever wants to delay our elevation, whatever wants to delay our celebration, oh God, remove it. Father, remove it. Daddy, remove it. Father, remove it. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. You will say the name of Jesus. Father, Father, every power attacking male children, attacking firstborn and sons in my family. Father, destroy that power today. Frustrate that power today. Lift your voice and pray. Pray, 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 pray. Every power destroying the male children in my family, affecting the sons in my family. Every satanic, demonic, occultic power that is affecting male children in my family. Father, Lord, I pray you terminate that power today. Powers that want to delay the success of my husband, that want to delay the success of my brothers, my firstborn. Father, let there be a solution to this problem today. Pray, 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 pray for every firstborn, every son in your family. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. You will say every power of empty-handedness, of wretchedness, of poverty,
and poverty affecting the male children, affecting the life of the male children in my family, you are arrested. You are arrested. You power of failure affecting the male children. You are arrested. Lift your voice and pray. You power of stagnancy that is affecting the male children in my family, Father, arrest them today. Arrest them. Arrest that power. Arrest that power. Arrest that power. Every power that is affecting the male children, making them to suffer delay, making them to be useless in life, Father, destroy them. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. This is not part of the outline that we have ready for this, but the Holy Spirit told me this now. There is a power called like father, like son. And the first person it affects are the male children. Whereby the life of the children, the male children particularly, and the firstborn begins to resemble how the father's life is like. You will say, Father, arrest every power of like father, like son. Power that want to make me worse like my father. Father, Lord, destroy them. Lift your voice and pray. Father, powers that want to pattern my life negatively, that wants me to make the same mistakes my father made. Powers that want me to make the same mistake my mother made. Father, terminate them, terminate them, terminate them, terminate them, terminate them. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. You will say, Father, let our firstborn and let my own firstborn, let them take their place in destiny. Let them take their place in destiny. Let them take their place in. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Pray. Let them take their place. They cannot be on the floor. My firstborn cannot be on the floor. He cannot be on the floor. My fiancé cannot be on the floor. My husband cannot be on the floor. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. You will say, powers programming shame for my family, today you are destroyed. Lift your voice and pray. Every power programming shame that wants me to close 2019 with shame, Father, destroy such powers. Father, terminate such powers. Every power programming shame for our families, Father, terminate them, destroy them, frustrate them. Every power programming shame for our family, let that power be destroyed. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Now I want you to speak to God on pressing issues.
Wow, I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.